Well, we're looking at our 1 Corinthians text primarily this Sunday, and we've spent some time here before. A lot of ink in 1 Corinthians that I've added, because there's a lot of interesting things in there, some of which strike me for the first time. One of the things about the Bible is the similarity that it holds with great literature, and admittedly, some of it's greater than other parts, some of it's just kind of tedious, let's be honest. There are parts of Numbers that I know I've read, but every time I see it, it's like they're brand new. But great literature shows us different things every time we read it, or at least it can, and we can take different things from it. And what I took from this passage in 1 Corinthians, in preparation for this Sunday, is the question about Paul. Does he know who he is? And it's because it's easy to misunderstand what Paul's doing here. And I'm not saying any of you have, but it is easy to, well, it's easy to misunderstand Paul all over the place. I mean, even Peter talks about how difficult Paul's writing can be. So if we occasionally struggle with it, I think we're allowed. But when we look at this part of 1 Corinthians, we have Paul saying this list of things where he becomes different things. And if we're not careful, we'll put this in a category where it doesn't belong. If we're not careful, we'll put it in that category of those people that perhaps you have known in the past who are like chameleons, or at least the stereotype of chameleons, and they take on the coloration of whoever they're with. So when they're with, say, religious people, they are temperate in their language, they don't use foul words or anything of that nature, but when they're in the company of perhaps co-workers who are different, they just fit right in. And those people who always fit in, regardless of what they seem to believe, we think of them in a particular way, and I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but I tend to think of those people as either being easily led or of having no convictions whatsoever. Of people who are just trying to fit in no matter what. That's the goal, is to fit in. Not to stand for anything, but just to stand with wherever they are. And we can put Paul in that category if we're not careful. And we can go through here and we can say that Paul is making himself free, he's making himself a Jew, he's making himself not a Jew, he's all of these things. Well, what we need to understand here is what Paul is doing is the same thing that healthy people do. That first person, that imaginary person that I sort of portrayed for us, that's an unhealthy response to the people around you. It's a desire to fit in regardless of their values or anything else. And that's not a healthy way to live your life. But Paul isn't talking about that. What Paul is doing is the same thing that we do as healthy human beings. And my favorite example of this, of course, is you probably don't talk to toddlers the same way you talk to me. Now, I have known some people over the years who don't seem to understand the difference between the audience they're talking to, and they do talk to toddlers the same way they talk to adults, and toddlers look at them with complete incomprehension, because of course they do. What do we do when we talk to toddlers? Well, number one, we get down to their level. At least we try to, depending on how our knees are. We get down to their level. We often raise our voice. We're a little lighter in how we talk, and we're more animated. Our eyebrows move more. So if we talk to toddlers that way, and we talk to our partner or our co-workers or our neighbors in a completely different way, does that mean that we are somehow unmoored from what we believe? Well, of course not. What we're doing is we're talking to the toddlers in a way that they will understand, that they will be able to grasp, because toddlers need to be talked to in a slightly different way than adults do, at least for the most part. If you talk to adults the same way you talk to toddlers, people will still understand you, but they'll think you're a little odd. They might not write you off entirely, but then again, I've been around adults, and perhaps you have too, who talk baby talk, as the expression goes, with weird pronunciations and things. And it's very hard to take them seriously when they do that. So what Paul is doing and what Paul is demonstrating here is in the context of Paul saying that Paul says, I am compelled to preach the gospel. And that's where this all comes from. That there's a compulsion upon Paul, springing from a deep sense of gratitude for the gospel that he has been given, that he's received from Jesus, to preach it to others, and to preach it in a way that they will be able to receive and to understand. And that's why Paul goes through this list of things, and he says, when I'm talking to Jews, I become as if I am a Jew, and that's it. When I'm talking to people under the law, and that includes, in this case, includes Jews, of course, but also some of the Gentiles who thought that they had to become like a Jew. They had to step under the law to be a Christian person. He talked to them as if he was the same, not trying to mislead them, because that wasn't Paul's goal. What Paul is trying to do is put what he has to say, which is of critical importance, in the best way for it to be understood and received. When I was still teaching, I taught a class, not a class, I gave a seminar on how to write an A paper. And the bottom line of how to write an A paper is make it as hard as possible for the professor to give you anything other than an A. So how do you do that? Well, by following the formatting guidelines, by using a font that's easy to read. There's a bunch of mechanical things that have nothing to do with the content of your paper that will help you get a better grade. And I used to tell people that if you write a lousy paper using all of these rules and suggestions that I give you, you'll probably still get a C. I mean, if it's really lousy, you'll get an F. You know, if you're writing a theology paper for your biology class, no, you're not going to pass. But you do this not because you're trying to be manipulative and not because you have no convictions, but because you're doing everything you can to have your message received positively and well. And that's what Paul is talking about. Because Paul knows exactly who he is. He's an apostle. He's an apostle to the Gentiles. He has been compelled. He's under a compulsion to preach to these people and to preach in such a way that they will understand and receive the message favorably. And that's why we change the way we talk depending on who we're with. We talk to toddlers the way they want to hear because we want them to hear us and understand us, whether we're telling them how to behave better or whether we're telling them how to play a game. We talk to adults the way they want to be talked to. We talk to young people the way they want to be talked to, although we try not to use their slang and things, because then we just look, well, as they put it, in the most pejorative use of the word possible, adorable. Just in case you've ever heard this, if a youngish person calls you adorable, there's a good chance it's not good. Just throwing that out there, you can do with it as you wish. But we talk to young people in a way that's respectful to how they listen, how they talk, how they understand the world. And that's what Paul is telling us to do. Because in verse 22, Paul, one of the most amazingly powerful people as far as the ability to talk and reason and all of those things, he says, "To the weak I became weak, to win the weak I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." Paul was willing to talk to people in such a way that someone else looking from the outside might not really understand why he was doing it, because Paul's focus was the person or the people he was talking to. And if somebody from the outside said, "Oh, that Paul, did you hear what he was saying? He must be weak." Paul would say, "I don't care what you think. Because my message was to people equally weak, and I didn't want them to be put off by how I spoke or what I said. I wanted the content of what I was communicating to come across, and so I became like them. And if you don't understand what I was doing, that's still okay." Because for Paul, the most important thing was that by all possible means, he might save some. Paul was given the profound gift of interacting with the living Christ on that road to Damascus, and it changed him forever. And one of the things it did is it made him completely uninterested in other people's assessment of who he was. And if you came up to Paul afterwards, after listening to one of his sermons off to the side or something, you said, "Paul, I was listening to that. You just sounded like you were a legalistic under the law Jew." Paul would say, "So? What's your point? Because what Paul was trying to do was communicate to people who lived in that world, and he could move them from it later, but not if he put them off or offended them from the first. And we are under the same compulsion. Not necessarily to preach the gospel, unless we want to use that definition of preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. We are called to live a life that is comprehensible to the people around us. I'm sure we've all seen stand-ups coming out of a Christian particularly those who have left behind what they, or at least think they've left behind, a belief structure that includes many of the things we talk about. And they make fun of how incomprehensible it is if you don't moderate your language. You know, if you ask a stranger if they've been washed in the blood, they are not going to be accepting of the rest of your message. The fact that it means something to us doesn't mean it means anything to anyone else. So we moderate our language, as Paul did, not because we're desperate to fit in and be liked and we have a self-esteem deficit. No, but because we want the life we live and the message we have that comes through that life to be comprehensible, understandable, and acceptable to the people around us. You notice Paul doesn't say he became a thief to meet thieves. You know, he didn't become a rapist to meet rapists. We're not talking about that. We're talking about moderating our language, or at least monitoring our language and our way of being, that when we're talking to people about this wonderful relationship that we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we want people to understand what we're saying. So Paul did know who he was, and I'm quite sure you do too. And so this message isn't one of a brand new thing for any of you. It's just a reminder that when you change your language, and if somebody else says, oh, you were dumbing down for them, that doesn't matter, because you weren't talking to that person. You were talking to somebody else, and it's a sign of generosity and hospitality to invite them in a way that they can understand and accept. And when we do that, we're being like Paul. And I think that's a pretty good example. Paul did an enormous amount of work for God, always knowing who he was. And if he occasionally looked from the outside like he was trying to be something else, the reasons he had were the same reasons we have for talking to people, for interacting with our community in ways that help them to see the reality of God with us. Amen.